Uh-oh, sounds like somebody's got a case of the Tuesdays.
Come on, son, you gotta get out there and take the mound. It's game time.
It's time for Tuesdays with Tim. Former Brewers pitcher and current Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst Tim Dillard joins Wisconsin Sports Daily on 1250 AM The Fan. Tim's appearance is served up by Fourth Base Seafood and Steak Restaurant on National Ave in West Milwaukee. Check him out online and make your reservation today at thefourthbase.com.
All right, let's get to it. Our guy Tim Dillard joins us now. Tim, how are we doing on this beautiful Tuesday rainy afternoon?
Yeah, I was going to say a little bit of rain, but I just got back from AmFam. There was Brewers Fantasy Camp, had a couple of games there. So, yeah, I got a couple of at-bats, and we stayed dry in the dome.
Who was the star?
A couple of those guys can play now. and we're doing a draft this year when it comes to picking. Like, I'm a coach at Fantasy Camp, so, yeah, I was definitely taking notes. I know who can pitch. I know who can catch, and I know who's got the big bats, so... Yeah, always fun to hang out with those guys.
Now, Fantasy Camp, that's the deal that Rock does, right? And that's in when? When is that? February or something like that?
Yeah, it's in January.
January.
Yeah, and one of the deals is you're out there for a week, but then you also get to play a game under the big lights, which we were because it was kind of dark. So we had the dome closed, lights were on. Yeah, it's a big deal. And I would say we had 100 campers last year, and I think 50 of them showed up to play in the games today. So always fun. I did strike out, though. So, yeah, not thrilled about that.
How old are the people that go to this fantasy camp? Are they mostly like people in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, or do you have younger ones that show up?
I think it's anybody over 30. Usually, I would say most of the crowd that we have is between 40 and 60. But, I mean, we've got guys that have, that are well into their 70s that have
really?
Been playing for, 20 or 30 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's legit. Once you get part of that little group, man, I mean, it's a special team.
They have out at the Rock, which, obviously you played for the Milkmen, out at the Rock on different nights and weekend mornings, they have the, over 30 league, over 40 league, over 50 league, or whatever the case may be. And from time to time, I'll go out there because I know a couple of the guys that are playing it. And I'm amazed by how hard a lot of these guys still throw, and they're into their 50s at this point.
Well, a lot of these guys play up there at the Rock, and I mean they're really competitive. I get recruited every year. I think next year I'll actually show up and play. but yeah, I actually talked to a guy today that said there's a 62 and over league.
There you go.
And he now qualifies, and so he's going to play. So yeah, I mean, to me, that's what I love about baseball. It doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, what your capabilities are. I mean, there's a spot for you in the big world of baseball.
Yeah, no doubt. He is Tim Dillard, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tillard. Of course, brought to you by our guys over at Fourth Bay Seafood and Steak Restaurant. CJ and the crew do a great job over there. You will absolutely love it. Delicious food. I'm a big fan of the shaved steak sandwich myself. All right, let's talk a little bit about philosophy and strategy. If you're Pat Murphy and the Brewers this week, you've got six games to go in Pittsburgh for three. Then you're back at home against the Mets, who you may end up playing in the first round of that wild card round, possibly. How does this go for Pat Murphy here as far as making sure that your bullpen is the way you want it, making sure the rotation is the way you want it? Because that first wild card game is a week from today, next Tuesday.
Yeah, well, I mean, they just got done with an off day, and they got six straight games. And I think, you got to be very methodical. You don't want to overplay guys. You want to make sure your bullpen pieces are lined up so that they're fresh. You don't want to burn one of your long guys where he throws three innings the very last day, has one day to recover, and clearly not going to be up for the next day. So, I mean, you got to be careful. I think he played it. He tried to play it as best he could, and he saw that the team didn't respond the way he wanted those first three games against the Diamondbacks. I think he kind of, he used his own words of saying taking his foot off the gas a little bit, trying to get guys rest, and then suddenly the competitive nature of the team kind of goes down. So, yeah, there's a philosophy behind the whole thing. But for him, I think he saw his team not playing the way they usually have been playing all season long. And so then he's going to start kicking it into high gear. I think Churio and Contreras could easily not have been in the lineup the last day against the Diamondbacks, but I think they went for it. They're like, we need to win this game. And then suddenly they're down eight runs after two innings. And what do? They come all the way back. So this team's done some special things. But it's about staying healthy, but at the same time, you want to be playing good baseball down the stretch, and that means the, you know, the guys, the studs, the ones that have been doing it all year, they need to play.
I want to get your thoughts on a comment he made about maybe the guys heard the booing at American Family Field, which is ridiculous because they just won the NL Central and were booing, and kind of maybe kicked it into high gear. I guess I never really bought into fans booing really meaning much of anything to players other than maybe getting them irritated. But does that happen where somebody booing is going to get a team motivated? That's the first I've heard of that.
Yeah, I wonder if, you know, because Murph was really, you know, asking the last couple of weeks of like, you know, hey, fans, come out, watch this team.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they come out after losing three in a row and they're down by eight in the second. And it's kind of like, oh, man. And, you know, he was like, it was warranted. You know, they weren't playing great. But what it came down to, it was just a moment where the Brewers had something going on. And then something unfortunate happened. I think it was a missed bunt. And I think then Terang ground into a double play, which doesn't happen that often. And then suddenly it was like, it was really close play, but he was out, so they didn't review it. So we're kind of all hanging there. And I think, you know, 40,000 in the bleachers were just kind of like, this whole thing just kind of irks. You know, I think everyone, I could feel it too. You're just like, man, they are not playing well. Like it's, and you could tell they were frustrated. The dugout was frustrated. And the fans were frustrated. And it all came to a culmination. But I tell you what, man, they snapped right back into how they've been playing all season long. And what I really like about that is this team, even this late in the season, knows that they can produce some magic on the field. They just proved it to themselves. So that's going to pay dividends here when they get in playoff time where they like, dude, we can be down whatever. We've done it before. And not just done it before, but we've done it recently. So they really did snap into high gear. Willy Adames kind of leading that charge, him and Garrett Mitchell. But a lot of guys had some magic moments.
Talking with Tim Dillard, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on 1250 AM The Fan. Follow Tim on Twitter at Dim Tillard. We talk about wanting to play well this last week. How much do you believe in momentum being a big thing heading into the playoffs for an MLB team?
Well, personally, I mean, I can't speak to the guys that play every single day, like the, you know, the everyday players, the position players. But if they want to play, play them. I mean, play, run yourself ragged. You got 5 months in the offseason to recuperate. If you want to play, play. And when you start resting guys, suddenly that changes a little bit. And so if you want to be playing your best ball, then get your studs out there, especially if they want to play. And I think that's kind of what Pat Murphy had to kind of do. So I don't know. I mean, it's tough to play baseball regardless. Like, I tried to play today at the fantasy camp thing. Clearly, I am out of shape and not great. These guys play every single day at a position, especially Willy Adames. He's only missed one game all season long. And, yes, you have off days, but until you've gone through it, you have no idea. My dad told me that when I was getting into baseball. He said, don't think that you know what these position players are going through. Just because you're in the same clubhouse, if I'm a bullpen pitcher, I do as much as the bat boy. But these guys go out there, dive every single day. I mean, Bryce Terang in about a three-game span, he dove on the infield like 8 times. I'm like, dude, that is unbelievable. He can't be feeling super fresh, but you know what? He dusts himself off and he's back in there. So, I mean, that's what you want. You want your players to want to be on the field, and I think they have a group that want to be out there. So are they going to rest? They're going to mix their moments in. But when it comes down, hey, we want to end this thing with a bang, I think they're going for it.
Frankie Montas was the one that got kind of hit all around in that game on Sunday. After the game, Pat Murphy started talking about them possibly stealing signs from the catcher and how the Brewers need to be more on top of that so they're not giving away and tipping pitches. I said after we played that audio that, okay, you can tell Charlie Usen, my producer, that a fastball is coming. That does not mean he's going to hit it or where it's going to be located or whatever the case may be. You still have to hit the pitch, so still kudos to the D-backs for pulling that off. But should the Brewers have known something was up previous to it getting to 8 runs?
I mean, maybe they don't know for sure. You know, maybe they finally caught wind of it later. Maybe they just are, it's hypotheticals. But you're right, the D-backs were getting some really good swings off, and they were, you know, spitting on a lot of pitches that, man, I didn't get any swings on that. So you're kind of wondering, like, what's going on? But honestly, like, I think what Murph was alluding to was maybe that the guy on second base could see the pitches inside his glove before he was releasing it. And once a guy picks up on that, suddenly there's an echo that goes to the dugout that says, hey, when this happens, I'll do this from second base. I mean, that's very easy to do. Hey, if I touch my helmet, it's off speed.
Right.
You know, it may not be specific like, hey, it's going to be a fastball in, but if you know it's not a fastball or if you know it is going to be an off-speed pitch, I mean, that puts you a little bit in the driver's seat, and any little edge in this game echoes. I mean, it does. And so when a guy gets a really big swing because he knows what's coming, you think you're setting him up, and you're not because he knows what's coming. So you try to pitch like you're going to pitch a normal guy that's trying to guess up there, and suddenly they have a cheat sheet. Not to say that's exactly what happened, but I think that's what he was alluding to, that they were kind of just glaring in on his glove. That's a real thing. I've had guys, you know, I was in Double-A when I had to change where I positioned my glove because I had to do it on second base, and I thought I was trying to tell what pitch was coming because he was standing at second. He wasn't getting his lead. You know, if he was getting his lead, then I could, you know, he couldn't see my ball, but he was waiting because he wanted to see what I had, and then it would shuffle off, and I was like, I got mad. I hit the next dude. I hit the next guy. I was like, I was so mad, and he was acting all innocent. I don't know for sure if he was relaying signs, but here's the thing. Do not act like you are relaying signs. Don't act like it. If you do anything fishy on the base pads like that, that's just going to – you're just asking for a teammate to get crushed. Like, that's just plain and simple. I don't care. It's just – that's the way the game is.
I love you, Tim Dillard. That's amazing. That is so good. Okay, last question as far as from a starting pitching perspective for these guys that are making their, you know, their final start here before the playoffs come, especially like a guy like Frankie Montas who got crushed, like I said, last time out, how important is it for them to have solid outings here so the last thing in their head isn't what happened in the last week of the season when things didn't go well?
Well, the way I would have handled it, because I'm clearly so capable, but I'm really not, the way I would have handled it is let the pitchers, you know, throw normal. But what happened was they were trying to limit guys' innings. And so guys that could have gone, you know, maybe into the fifth or sixth or seventh inning, suddenly they're only going like three or four or five innings. That started maybe a week and a half ago, right around the time they clinched. And since then, all of a sudden the bullpen's just getting huge chunks taken out of it because they have to eat up all these innings. And it kind of came to a culmination when Montas, you know, can't get through the third inning, and suddenly you got to use all your studs. And they did amazing. And there's a reason they won the game is because they brought in the studs. But I think it comes down to, you know, they can make the decisions. I think they're going to wait. I think they're going to set the guys up like they think they want the rotation to be, and they're going to let the guys. They should let the guys throw, because if you start limiting innings down the stretch here, you're going to burn the bullpen to shreds. And if you start piggybacking guys, you need to make sure you know which guys are being piggybacked. If Colin Ray is not going to be your starter, then stick him in the bullpen and let him get some more work in. If Tobias Myers is your starter, then let this kid go six or seven innings, right? Just do this stuff. This is stuff that players want for the most part. Like, if I'm a starter and I want to pitch in playoffs, the last thing I want to do is go three innings, you know, and be taken out when my pitch count is, you know, 48 pitches. That's just kind of dumb. So I don't know. We'll wait and see how it goes. There's so many options and there's no right answer, right? So you just work the best you can with the information you have. And the Brewers, they have all that information.
It'll be interesting because based on just, you know, every fifth day, Myers would be the guy to start on Sunday. There is no starter listed for Sunday as of right now. I wonder if that ends up being a DL Hall or somebody like that. And then maybe Myers is that guy in game one, Peralta game two, and then Savali in game three, or Colin Ray in game three, whatever it may be, if there is a need for a game three in that wild card round. And that's the other thing too, because there's no days off. You play Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday straight through without a day off. That also screws things up because then, yeah, you do get a day off or whatever it is before the divisional round, which makes it harder to get your pitching matchups you want for the next round.
Yeah, well, I think it comes down to they can mix and match all they want. They can have guys in the bullpen. It's going to matter who they keep on staff. You don't need five starters, but if you're a starter and you're good out of the bullpen, then, hey, stick them in the bullpen, especially your strikeout guys. If you can strike some folks out, then, yes, go to the bullpen. You know, and then you kind of piece it together as you go. So down the stretch here, if there's a guy that could be a long guy in the bullpen, you're probably going to see him before the last couple of days. To me, it's like if you're one of the guys that's not going to make the first round roster, you're probably going to be starting those last couple days. Only because, you know, what's the point? I mean, whoever pitches the last day, if they go five, six innings, like you think they're going to be ready the day after next? No.
Right.
So I mean, yeah, there's some strategy involved in how all this works, but they're being very informative with the players. The last thing that happens is if something sneaks up on a player and they have no idea what's going on. So they're mapping this thing out the best they can. They got marker boards everywhere. They got a whole list of guys and coaches that sit there and try to come up with the best scenarios, and they communicate that to the players, which is what good clubs do.
He is Tim Diller, Bally Sports Wisconsin Brewers analyst. Next time we talk to him will be before game one of the wild card round next Tuesday. Follow him on Twitter at Dim Tiller. Tim, thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, you got it, Sparky. Thanks.
Take care. There he is, Tim Diller, Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's.